There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
My name is Brandon Hume. Up until last March, I was a member of the United States Army. I've been recruited when I was 17 years old with the promise of a college education and a better future. At the impressionable age of 17, this promise, as well as the $5,000 signing bonus, was enough to reel me in. I signed the enlistment contract in August of 2002, along with my father, as I was too young to sign on my own accord. My recruiter had told me I would receive my signing bonus upon the completion of basic training. When I did this in November 2003, I had never received my signing bonus. I would ask about it and would be given a comment like, you should be worried about doing your duty instead of the money we're paying you. After this, I was forced to come to the realization that my signing bonus was most likely nothing more than a gimmick used by recruiters to appeal to teenagers with no money. This had been my first rude awakening, but it would not be my last. In February 2004, I received orders to deploy to Baghdad to participate in the occupation of Iraq. This occupation had already been declared a violation of the UN Charter by Kofi Annan and Hans Blix. It violated the UN law, which says that any preemptive invasion of a sovereign nation without the approval of the Security Council is illegal. Not only was this invasion and occupation illegal, but by the time I received my orders, the main reasons for going into Iraq had already been found to be false. Not a single warhead could be found by U.S. troops after George Bush had said Saddam Hussein possessed a massive arsenal of weapons of mass destruction. Nor was there any evidence supporting the claim of Iraqi ties to Al-Qaeda. The cost of these lies has been immense. 10,000 to 15,000 innocent men, women, and children have been slain, and in cities like Fallujah, civilian bodies practically litter the streets. U.S. troops have even admitted to firing on targets without knowing whether or not they were militants or innocent people. If I were to shoot at a person without knowing whether or not it was an innocent, I could not come home and call myself a hero. What the Bush administration calls collateral damage, the rest of the world calls a crime against humanity. I am not afraid to defend my country, but I will not kill another person or risk losing my own life for lies and a cause that my government cannot even justify. As a soldier, if I were to give the so-called ultimate sacrifice, I would want the peace of mind of knowing it was for the right reasons. Knowing full well that this invasion was a blatant act of aggression against the people that were no threat to my own, that would not have been possible. According to the Nuremberg Principle, established after World War II, a person has a duty to resist unlawful and immoral orders, even if they go against the domestic law of his homeland. Even if a soldier acts pursuant to order of his government, he is not relieved from the responsibility of his actions. In other words, just because you sign a contract or take an enlistment oath, you are not excused from bearing the responsibility for carrying out unlawful orders. To those who don't believe I could be punished for carrying out my orders in Iraq, just look at the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, where low-ranking enlisted servicemen were scapegoated after following orders from higher up. I'm not saying that the people who committed these acts don't deserve to be punished, as obviously they had an obligation to refuse their orders, but with evidence showing that these acts were proof from higher up in the chain of command, there should be more people going to jail than just a few privates. For those unlucky few who did what they were told, they will have their lives forever ruined, all because they followed their orders and did what they were told. This could have just as easily been me in this situation. George Bush and his yes men have since shifted their position to say that they actually went in to liberate the Iraqi people. This method of spreading freedom has been accomplished by bombing their cities into the ground and killing their women and children. Many Iraqis have even said that life under U.S. occupation is worse than under Saddam Hussein. It is not the place of the U.S. government to tell the Iraqi people what they want. On top of that, the democracy that they have brought to Iraq is in the form of a CIA-appointed government whose first responsibility is to Washington rather than to the Iraqi people. Come election time, you can be sure that the only candidates Iraqis will be able to vote for will first have to be approved by the CIA. This is because the U.S. government does not want a true democracy in Iraq, as a government truly chosen by the people would be opposed to U.S. policies. This is why George Bush's latest justification for the war is also a sham. So to sum it all up, there is no way that this invasion and occupation can be justified. It is unlawful and a senseless waste of human life. Just because I enlisted voluntarily does not mean I'm free to engage in criminal activities. When a soldier is given any order, he must use his own moral judgment, regardless of what he is told, and the Nuremberg Principle dictates that he do so. This principle applies just as much to volunteers as it does to draftees. Having said that, I made the decision to come to Canada after my commanding officers refused to grant me a discharge. Had I not made this decision, my only options would have been either to become complicit in a criminal agenda or to be sent to prison for a number of years. Had I chosen the latter, not only would I face jail time, but I would also be blacklisted with a dishonorable discharge, which would mean I would have difficulty landing a decent job or obtaining student loans for college, which is the reason I enlisted in the first place. Such an extreme punishment for following the higher moral standard and obeying international law, all the while the real criminals would still be free and running the country. With that in mind, I'm seeking refugee status in Canada, and I'm appealing to the people of this great country to support me for the same reasons they would not send their own troops into Iraq. If I'm allowed to stay, I will contribute what I can to this country and work hard to be a productive member of Canadian society. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Dillis, do you have any comments about today when Colin Powell said that the insurgency is growing and they're anti-election terrorists, that the message has now changed from their terrorists against the handover in June, and now they're fighting against?
I think what's consistent is the opposition is to the U.S. occupation, which, handover or no handover, remains in place. We may be, Colin Powell and the others may be fooling Americans, they may be fooling some Canadians, but they're not fooling Iraqis, who know that this so-called handover did not end the U.S. occupation. So the resistance is being consistent. I don't necessarily like their tactics, some of them, but they're consistent in opposing the occupation, whether it's against an election run by the occupation or a false handover run by the occupation, it still is occupation.
Do you see them leaving, even if Busby Kerry said that he's been seeing a fundamentalist super state spreading from Europe to Asia, and he's trying to fight against that?
I don't know what Kerry will do. I know what George Bush will do, and it's very dangerous. I know that the U.S. intends, whoever is in the White House, to keep 14 permanent military bases in Iraq. That's what this war was all about. That's why whoever wins the election, we will be in the streets all the next 4 years. But there's a big difference between the kind of prudent imperialism of Kerry and the kind of reckless drive towards empire of George Bush. Under the latter, a lot more people died. That's the big difference.
Today we saw a Hamas leader blowing up a car bombing in Syria.
Today?
Do we see Israel is now accepting responsibility for it? You know, Hamas is calling for blood and revenge. Do you see this escalating and spreading?
It's escalating, and part of what is the problem with the U.S. occupation is that it's given credibility to those who claim that under some circumstances occupation might be legal under international law. The U.S. is aiding and abetting the Israeli occupation while carrying out its own illegal occupation.
If you had 30 seconds for a solution, what would it be?
End both occupations, end the drive towards an empire, bring the troops home.
Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
How's your family responding to all this?
My dad is supportive now. He wasn't at first, because he's always been a lifelong Republican, but he's done a lot of research on the war and a lot of independent news sources he's looked at. So he's come to the conclusion that this war is wrong, and he's supporting me now.
How long have you been in Canada now?
Since March.
Since March?
Yeah.
And what kind of legal process do you have to... What do you have to jump through? What hoops do you have to jump through to stay here, sort of thing?
Basically, we've applied for refugee status. We've filled out all the paperwork, and I've actually been given a date for my hearing, which is on November 19th. So right now, we just wait for that, and until then, my status is official refugee claimant.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you the first, so to speak?
The second. The first was Jeremy Hinsman, and his hearing will be October 20th.
Wow. And if it's rejected, then what happens?
There's an appeals process that we plan to utilize, and that can drag on for months or even years.
And what
so,
kind of assistance are you getting from organizations here in Canada?
It's been pretty supportive so far. A lot of labor unions have supported us financially and morally. So the welcome we've received to Canada has been a warm one.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great. So what, if 30 seconds, what's your hope for the future, for America, for you, for the world?
My hope for the future is basically just to gain immigrant status, be able to go to school and live my life as I would have been had I not joined in the Army, and that's all I hope for. And as far as the rest of the world goes, I hope this occupation ends in Iraq and the administration is able to admit their mistake.
Now what happens if you changed your mind all of a sudden and wanted to return to the States? What would happen then? Would you face imprisonment or what?
If I went back, I would face a number of years, 2 to 5 years or possibly more in prison. And on top of that, I'd be given a dishonorable discharge, which would effectively make me a second-class citizen. I'd face discrimination in the job market and trying to get student loans. So and that would follow me for the rest of my life.
And how many years did you put in?
I had signed up for 4 years.
And how much time had you put in?
I had put in 8 months total before they gave me my orders to ship to Iraq.
And what do you think about all this ready reserve business of 54-year-old grandfathers being signed up, those mothers and fathers both being signed up and having to hand their children over to their own parents to take care of for like 18-month deployments? I mean, you know, whole families now are being shipped off to Iraq. Grandfathers are being shipped off. I mean, doesn't this seem desperate?
It does, and I guess in a way you could say that the draft is already back, because that's pretty much involuntary service, and it's disgusting that people are being called up who don't wish to go over there, and the United States claims to be a free country, but conscription is a violation of basic human liberty.
What do you say to other people who might be in the same boat you are currently in the States? What do you say to them?
Well, if they're in the same position I was, I would advise them to think about their options. Obviously, coming up here is an option, but it's a huge decision that needs to be given a lot of thought because the implications are so huge. Once you cross the border, you may never be able to go back, never see your family, so it's something that you should really give a lot of thought to.
Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.